And you think our Congress is political. You haven't seen anything that competes with gospel writers. They first played nice, transforming John the Baptist and Jesus into cousins. But really, they were competitors. John, we call the Baptist, still has several thousand followers believing he, not Jesus, was the Messiah. Evidently, Jesus liked John a lot, attracted to his message, repent and be forgiven. Tradition says that the fishermen, Andrew, Peter, and the Zebedee brothers, were initially John's disciples, perhaps making them more open to Jesus' message and follow him. So the story of Jesus' baptism may have some truth in it, but that's where their relationship stopped. How did the church denigrate John, upgrading Jesus? You heard part of it today. Listen how the gospel writers did it. Matthew claimed that John would have prevented Jesus from being baptized by him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you," indicating that John already recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, John aware of his own inferiority. Not sure John would have agreed. Then there's the voice of the Spirit. Mark's gospel depicts the coming of the Spirit and the voice from heaven as Jesus' private experience. "You are my son." But who is there to record it? Jesus certainly didn't spend any time bragging about himself and God's approval. Matthew implies that the heavenly voice was addressed to onlookers, the voice telling them, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." I mean, that's imprimatur big time. Luke even admits people were beginning to think that John might be the Christ. So Luke has the Spirit descend on Jesus like a dove after his baptism while Jesus was at prayer. Do you see the difference there? Then Luke has John say, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is more powerful than I, and I am not fit to undo the strap of his sandals." That's a slave's job. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, I don't see such humility in John the Baptist. Anger, yes, but not really anything else except his distaste for religious hypocrisy. No arrogance. Like the Exodus and Pentecost, fire has always been a symbol of God's presence. But Holy Spirit is a Christian term, not one John would have used. The fact that Jesus was baptized by John was a source of embarrassment to the early church, since John's followers, their main competition, claimed that Jesus' submission to John showed John's superiority. For the early church, that would not do. Biblical scholars give it their best shot. The Interpreter's one-volume commentary says the baptism account would not have been invented or recalled if it did not have some basis in fact. Finally, John expects the coming one to carry out the very judgment he had been predicting. Of course, for the church, that meant the coming one was Jesus. In Luke's second volume, The Acts of the Apostles, he gave a little Reader's Digest summary of Jesus' life. Did you hear that this morning? Which was the primary message of the early church, the very words you heard. The finale comes in a story Matthew tells about John, who, from prison, sends his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come? Or have we got to wait for someone else?" Matthew has Jesus' answer. "Go back and tell John what you hear and see. The blind see again. the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Remembering hearing Isaiah this morning? The prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled. The vision that gave Jesus his vocation, what he felt called to do with his life. Good marching orders for us too. Think, Salvation Army. Its whole purpose, helping people, especially the disadvantaged. Their theology may be a bit simple, but they're doing the work. Good news for the poor. Same with St. Luke's Pantry and our diocesan Santa Maria Urban Ministry. One of my joys is being part of an organization that runs a large eye hospital in Jerusalem with a clinic in the Old City Jerusalem just blocks from the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Free exams and treatment for people of all faiths there and around the world. The blind see. I know a lot of you are involved in those kinds of efforts to bring physical and mental health and spiritual well-being. Even your presence here today is testimony. So keep translating your heart, your faith, into action. Meanwhile, don't denigrate John the Baptist in the process. We tend to view John like an interim preparing the way for a new rector. But John was his own man, and we need to respect that, give him due credit. A friend's comment gave a good example of John's feelings. I picked up my college roommate at Boston's Logan Airport, and on the way home, we passed through a town whose sign read, "Welcome to Wareham, Gateway to Cape Cod." My friend said, "How do you like for your town's image to be the gateway to somewhere else?" I can imagine John the Baptist saying, "Call me a forerunner, just don't call me a gateway to Jesus, okay?" Examining Jesus and John taught me a lot. Don't assume the truth at face value. Dig in a bit. See complexities in each person. Remember the context of people's lives. Check your own expectations. See the person in his, her own singularity, as well as relationships and influences. Respect each person in his or her own terms. Your assumptions may reveal more about you than it does the other person, so watch out. So, let's honor both John and Jesus by connecting our lives with Isaiah's vision, which influenced them both, giving them and us vision and motivation. And do keep trying to see each person you meet as a unique human being, made in the image of God, just like Jesus and John and you.